Thank you, Bunting. Sadhu. For any new participants joining us for the first time, you may ask questions. Thank you, Bunting. Sadhu. For any new participants joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you may send them anonymously via the chat. Bhante, I don't yet have any questions. Maybe you can give folks a minute.
Yeah, so good. It seems that everybody sort of complete in their practice, so no questions. And how about our Dhammo Bhas? Do you have any question?
Unrelated question. Eh? I will ask after.
After, right. So Venerable Dhammo Bhas also joining with me. Okay, now there's a question. As usual, Chitra Devi has a question. You can take the chance.
Okay, you may unmute, please.
Yes, thank you. For now, basically, Bhante, I have a deep question, but I couldn't find that sutta that you said was from the Majjhima Nikaya, the Satcha Vibhanga Sutta. What is the number, if you have that number with you, Bhante?
Satcha Vibhanga Sutta. I'll let you know.
The other thing was you didn't touch on delusion, but I am assuming that you will do that the next time. You spoke about lust and hatred, how to overcome these things by loving kindness meditation when it comes to anger, and in the case of lust, to do the whole bhavana. But you didn't touch on delusion, so are you going to touch on that, or I presume you are going to, Bhante?
Actually, the delusion handling is a kind of a long process. So that is where the complete vipassana bhavana is doing. So it is not a single task. Like suppose when the anger is arising in the mind, suppose you do some sort of loving kindness meditation and you are able to temporarily remove it, so that we all understand. But the delusion, in that sense, suppose there are when delusion is there, so recognizing this as delusion also happens in different stages. So that is what we actually discuss in Sammaditti. So Sammaditti, so at the beginning we need to understand what is Micchaditti. So Micchaditti is some sort of a delusion. So understanding what is Micchaditti, there we need to understand, okay, this is wrong, this is correct. So that is Sammaditti, that is a freedom from delusion to some extent. And say, for example, killing animals, stealing, sexual misconduct, and all these different things. So we understand these are not wholesome. So that is an understanding, that is a freedom from delusion. So that may be a kind of fundamental level. And now you are understanding what is Sammaditti. So, say giving is good, and helping another is good. Doing something, say beneficial to someone is good. Doing something beneficial to yourself is good, and not killing animals is good. Not stealing is good. So, likewise, now we are recognizing the good, wholesome activities. So, this is also Sammaditti, removing the defilements, also the delusion. Now we are further growing. Now we are becoming a good person, and we are becoming generous, and likewise, now we are developing a fair amount of wholesome stage, and that is, in a way, we are developing wisdom. And now, suppose we are getting to meditation. Now we are developing wholesome state, say mindfulness, concentration, and using that concentration, now you are trying to recognize or try to understand various phenomena, how they are behaving. So here, you are trying to know how things as they truly are. Now this is removing delusion. And as you are developing that wisdom, the delusion is fading away. And as it is further and further fading away, there are further insights going to arise. how impermanent they are, how unsatisfactory they are, how insubstantial they are. So likewise, this is again the development of the wisdom. So therefore, the removal of the delusion is not a kind of a straightforward task. So it is a gradual process. And as you are improving wisdom, removing delusion, actually are removing craving as well. And it's a kind of a parallel process. And as you are doing that, these other defilements like hatred, lust, and all these things also start to fade away. So therefore, it's a kind of a combined process. So it is not at the very early stages, we can simply say when the mind is entangled with something and continuously thinking and thinking, doing some proliferation. So we have to save the mind or protect the mind without encouraging it. So to that extent, we can say we are overcoming delusion. So that is where we are taking our attention to very simple activity like breathing or walking or something like that. So the mind not entertain any kind of, rumination. So that is also a removal of delusion in temporary way. But the complete removal of delusion is the entire process of vipassana meditation.
So what I'm understanding is, Bhante, when we develop wisdom, then we are removing delusion. And in the vipassana, we little by little we understand the concept of anicca, dukkha, anatta, and so we are losing the sense of self. Then also delusion gets less and less. Is that right? If I said that
exactly, yes. So it's a gradual process. It's a gradual process. And even now, say for example, we are simply, for simple explanation, I am telling, okay, you are using, removing lust using the loving kindness meditation. But it is temporary. You can't simply remove it just merely using loving kindness meditation. Now, lust is also the gross form of the desire, sensual desire. But there are many other subtle forms of desire. So when it comes to tanha, craving, so Buddha talks about three categories. Kama tanha, the sensual desire. Then the what you call the bhava tanha, the desire to become. And then the vibhava tanha, desire to get rid of. Now we have to slowly address all these different categories of craving. Now loving kindness meditation does not immediately address these. And all the asubha bhavana, the what you call this unattractiveness or loathsomeness of the body does not immediately address all these. But temporarily we can overcome the recent lust using asubha bhavana. Temporarily we can overcome anger using loving kindness meditation. So, but there again we have to get on to a kind of a systematic approach to completely eradicate various defilements. So that involves actually the development of the wisdom.
Yeah. So it is a long process, Bhante.
Yeah. That is why I mean, it is like, assume that there is a kind of a threat from a terrorist organization in the country, and they are bombing and they are sort of doing various, making a lot of issues, and assume that there is a now bombing has happened in a particular situation. Now, immediately what you have to do is to take these, casualties to the hospital, and you do some various activities to sort of settle the situation, to calm down the situation. But that is not the solution. That is a temporary solution. Now you have to find out what are the exact reason why these people have become agitated, why these people become provocation. So why these people are causing all these troubles, what are the real reasons. Now you have to go deeper and deeper to the finding out the causes. Then only you are able to give lasting, kind of a solution so that everybody can live peacefully. So likewise, so the arisen anger, arisen lust is simply a kind of the, manifestation of the defilement. But there are deep-rooted latent tendencies, though they are the real cause in a way. So we have to address that. So that is where the Buddha's teaching is so powerful. Now, even the other ascetics, even the other religious leaders, actually they also found that Maitri Bhavana and say the Asubha Bhavana is helpful to overcome defilements, but they couldn't uproot the defilements. Temporarily, we can maintain the mind in an undefiled, calm, tranquil state. But still the potential is there. Still the risk is there underneath. So how to address those hidden layer? So that is the beauty, that is the depth of the Buddha's teaching. So that requires kind of continuous practice of vipassana.
So we don't always have to sit on the cushion, but we can also do it while we are doing our daily activities where if we watch our mind.
Definitely.
And do the, we can contemplate at that time, can't we?
Definitely. Actually, doing on the cushion is one stage. So because now development of the mindfulness, concentration, actually difficult for a beginner while engaged with various activities. So and therefore Buddha recommend that you go to a secluded place, you sit cross-legged if possible, and be away from various other disturbances. And now you try to develop mindfulness and concentration because that is the most conducive environment, conducive situation. But once you are able to develop it to some extent, and again you are able to develop wisdom to some extent, and there now you need to further refine it. Now you have to recognize various hidden layers of the mind, hidden tendencies of the mind. Now they may not arouse simply by being on the cushion, as you said. So
yeah,
probably when you are dealing with others, probably you may get angry. You probably,
exactly.
Yeah. So while dealing with others, probably the mind get sort of lustful. So likewise, only when the possibilities are there, so those tendencies are going to become active. So therefore, it's a kind of quite a practical approach what Buddha is showing us. So at the very early stages, now it is on the other hand, I can give you a simple simile. Like you are training to go to a battle. So if you are not a trained soldier, so you can't immediately go to the battle. So you have to be in a training camp and certain other good soldiers or good experienced people are coming and training you. But you are in a very safe environment and there is no one to shoot you. Rather, you are sort of using other tools, mechanisms, environment, safely that you are developing that skills. But battle is not inside the training camp. You have to go to the battlefield. So but when you are going to the battlefield, you are sort of fairly a trained person.
Yes.
So now you are doing the battle. So there you have to find out your own ways and means. But the Buddha's teaching is giving us enough strength. Already you have hands-on experience to some extent. Now, while being at the office, when you are dealing with a particular person, suppose he is not respecting your order. Now you get angry. You get hurt. So that indicates there is a self-view available in ourselves. That indicates some sort of, conceit available in our mind. So that if we can recognize at that very moment, there we can address the defilement. So there we have to be quite humble. Okay, this person is disrespecting me. True, fine. But why am I getting angry? So why am I getting so hurt? So that is the issue. Now, say for example, when Buddha and the Sangha going on arms round, due to some other sort of provocation by other religious groups, so certain villagers start to blame the whole Sangha. They start to use filthy words and start to blame. So the Sangha members were quite disturbed. And they came to the Buddha and they start to complain. But they, let's leave this place, leave this city. We can't even go arms round. People are using filthy words and blaming us. Then what Buddha mentioned, it's a beautiful verse coming in Udana. ගාමේ අරඤ්ඤේ සුඛ දුක්ඛ පුට්ටෝ නේව අත්තනෝ නෝ පරතෝ දහේත සුඛ පුසෙයුම් පස්සා පුසන්ති පස්සා උපදින් පටිච්ච නිරූපදින් කේන පුසෙයුම් පස්සා. Now Buddha actually used that opportunity to deliver a very beautiful profound dhamma. What he mentioned there is whenever you overcome that kind of a situation either in the village or in the city, gāme araññe sukha dukkha putto, that it is not that you always can experience praise and the fame or whatever the happiness every time. The opposite also might happen. You might get blamed, you might subject to sort of a suffering, you might become sort of ill-famed. So these are the sort of worldly situations, ups and downs. Neva attano no parato dahita. Now there's a strong advice. Don't take it personally. Don't make a person there. So if you are making a person, so he is blaming me. Now here we are personifying the whole situation, personifying the whole experience. So I am making an I who is subjected to this blaming. And I am making a person, he or she, who does the blaming. So now I am completely personifying the whole situation. But Buddha asks us to apply wisdom there. Neva attano no parato dahaya. Pusanti passa upadim paticca. Now whenever we have lot of assets, whenever we have a lot of eye making and mind making, whenever we have so much of, compiled, prepared situations to make a person. Say, I am so and so. My designation is this. I am this old. I am a lady. I am a man. Say, my salary is this. All people are respecting me. So likewise, we are making so many attributes to build the ego. So when we have that ego, that is where this all the whatever the hints or all the words are coming and attacking. So when these things are not available, if the mind is completely free, not attached to anything, then where are these hints and words and blames are going to come and hit? So likewise, Buddha is giving a very interesting sermon there by making use of that incident. So therefore, it is always applying of the Dhamma is in a way practical. So we are learning, we are strengthening certain good qualities during the meditation, but always we should not sort of satisfy there itself. Rather, we have to apply what we have learned, apply what we have sort of developed in all the day-to-day activities. Then only we can say, okay, I can handle things properly, without getting hurt, without being damaged. So I can actually, at least without making any defilements, I can face the situation.
So, little by little, we have to lose this me, mine, myself. Isn't that right, Pante? That's
yes.
The whole anatta.
Exactly, yeah. So actually, that is not kind of a suicidal thing. Rather, or even kind of you are allowing others to belittle you. Rather, you profoundly understand what is really going on. It has to be in a kind of experiential knowledge that you very well understood. There is nothing substantial here. I mean, there is no person, being or anything here because of the ignorance I am making a self. It's a kind of a mind-made self, constructed self. So, I mean, even I am telling you now, I still can't do it 200%. So I also have to do it. I also have to practice. So it's not a kind of an easy job. But the path is that we have to honestly, humbly develop the path. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Bhante. It's very difficult. I mean, it's against the grain. And,
definitely.
Uphill path, but that's how to go about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. So you are welcome. And we have put the link to Saccha Vibhanga Sutta, that is Majjhima Nikaya 141.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay. Bhante, for the next question. But in the Dhamma Vichara stage, can it proceed without putting much effort?
Yeah, we can do it. Actually, not early. I mean, it is like this. Now, say for example, as you develop mindfulness, suppose you are able to develop mindfulness to some extent. Now the mind is happy, quiet, and mindfully you are able to walk. Fine. But when I ask you to carefully examine what you are experiencing, so that requires energy. So previously you are in a more relaxed manner, relaxed state, but now I am asking you to purposely examine what you are experiencing. So that requires energy. And it is not the energy that what you are using at the very early stages, that you are striving, you are keeping your body straight and you are sort of having a strong determination. No, it is not like that. But it's a kind of a very, say, refined effort, careful effort you have to maintain in order to examine what is really going on. So this is an effort. But as you do it, so you are gaining the skill. At the early stages, you, even though you are trying to examine, nothing is visible. So that is the interesting part. Say for example, when I am asking you to examine a particular painful feeling, now you are keeping your mind there, but nothing is there. I mean, just the painful feeling is there, not much detail, but you have to do it again and again. Now that is the perseverance, the what you call the Nikkama Dhatu. You are doing it again and again, again and again. Now as you are sort of developing that skill, then you may understand, okay, this has a not, it's a kind of a bundle of feelings. It's a kind of a group of feelings. Now that knowledge does not happen just by, say, with one day practice maybe. So you have to carefully do this examination for a long time. Then only you are able to refine your mindfulness, you are properly able to focus your mind, then you are able to retrieve this information. Now you understand it is not a single painful feeling, rather it's a manifestation of group of feelings. Now you are able to recognize each individual minute feeling even. Now this also requires energy. But how about the energy? I mean, there is a significant difference as well. At the very early stage, you are simply adverting your mind to observe it. So that also requires energy. But when you are carefully recognizing each minute feeling, that also requires effort, but very subtle effort. So likewise, the effort is there, but it is a kind of a in varying degree, not the same level. That's what I mentioned, that I can simply tell you, but you yourself have to practically develop it. Yeah. I don't know whether you got the answer.
Okay. Yeah, if there is follow-up question, please do let me know.
Yeah.
So the next Bhante, Bhante, can you explain the meaning of the four gathas that you recite at the end? Sorry for the ignorance, I mean Pali gathas at the end of the program every week.
So you mean the Ittavata cha amhehi? So is that the one, that sharing of merits? Maybe that.
Yeah, didn't specify. Oh, yes, she said yes.
Okay. So basically that means that I am able to accumulate merits using this wholesome activity. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatang punya sampadam. So I am able to accumulate a lot of merits by conducting this wholesome activity. And let me ettavata cha amhehi sambadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Let these merits be a cause of rejoice for the all celestial beings, and may they rejoice in this good activity. And similarly, you are allowing various other beings also to enjoy this, and you are sharing the merits basically. Sabbe deva anumodantu, sabbe bhuta anumodantu, and sabbe satta anumodantu. Sabbe deva means let the all celestial beings, sabbe bhuta means all the arisen beings, sabbe satta means all the beings. So these are different levels, different ways of sort of categorizing the beings. And in essence, we can say we are sharing benefits with everybody.
So Bhante, the next question, and let's see. Okay, so I'm busy and I don't have as much time to practice recently, but I'm still trying to be mindful as much as possible. But I feel like I am rebuilding the self view. Will the developments from my vipassana and the wisdom that has arisen before, will that decline over time, similar to samadhi practice?
Well, I didn't get your question properly, Jennifer.
So if I could paraphrase the question, Bhante?
Yeah, sure.
The yogi is asking because he or she is not very busy right now, mm-hmm. and doesn't have as much time, but is still trying to maintain mindfulness as much as possible.
Yeah.
But this person can see and feel that he or she is rebuilding the self-view.
Yeah.
So the question is, will any developments and insights from the vipassana decline over time because there's not as much time to practice and life is busy?
Yeah.
Or similar to like in a samadhi practice where concentration will decline and you don't practice samadhi.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. Because that is why, I mean, we need to take it to the fulfillment. Like, even though you are a vipassana practitioner, it does not guarantee that if you are not practicing, that you are able to maintain that level, because the concentration is slowly deteriorating. As the concentration is deteriorating, the lustful states, the kamachanda, the sensual desire is growing, and again the wisdom is deteriorating, and then the various delusions are going to happen, and the mindfulness is also deteriorating. So you start to proliferate, and the mind starts to enjoy past and the future. So therefore, slowly the whole developed states going to sort of fade away. So that is why Buddha emphasized the third and the fourth categories of effort, that you need to have an effort to develop, arouse, not arisen wholesome states. And again, you need to have an effort to sustain, maintain, further develop, enhance what you have already developed. Because that is why the importance of the daily practice. And it is true that, I mean, nobody can maintain perfect daily practice. True, there are ups and downs. But you have to take care of it. You have to, when you have certain duties and certain responsibility to fulfill on behalf of others, so you do it. But later you need to have your own seclusion, have some time for yourself, so that you are regaining the skills that you have developed. Otherwise, things will fade away. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. I believe that was the last question.
Yeah, I saw this. Mahesha has raised the hand.
Yes. Okay, Mahesha, sorry, almost skipped you. I'm so glad Bhante noticed you.
Yes.
Please, you may unmute yourself.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Bhante. I actually have a question. This is related to my practice. I usually was doing like 1 hour sitting and some walking as well. Walking meditation is not a particular time. Like, whenever I feel, I do it, and I pretty much enjoy it. Now, I thought I would do another 1 hour, increasing it to 2 hours for a day, and I started doing it, finding time at the end of the day. And when I start doing it, it's quite okay, and because it's maybe tired after the day's work. But I feel like I go to that empty space. I can remember that. And then, like those initial stages, I go to unknown state then. And when I realize that, when I get back my mind, then I feel, oh my God, I was like nodding my head forward and staying like that. So yeah. This happens, but I thought, okay, doesn't matter, I'll keep going. If I stop, it will be stopped for all, so that's 7 hours. So therefore, I keep doing it. But the problem occurred, I don't know whether it's because of that nodding head thing happening for like 15, 20 minutes, I think, for a day. My middle, like back of my neck, below the neck, actually, that comes to near the spinal area. I got a severe kind of a pain now, not when I'm doing the meditation, but other times when I'm doing other work. So I'm not spending quite a lot of time on computer as such, but I do time to time on a day. So I'm thinking whether to stop my hour what I'm doing at the evening, or shall I use some other strategy? If you can give me some valuable advice, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think you better use walking meditation instead of sitting, because most of the time if you are too tired and going for a sitting, easily because of the tiredness, we go to a sleepy or a sleepy or drowsy state, and mind go and sort of hide there. So ultimately we lose consciousness and we lose the awareness, and the head bends, and we are in a kind of a sort of half conscious state. So this is not useful actually. So mind is in a kind of a dull state, and this is not useful. So instead of doing that, you can maybe go, I mean, if you have a garden, you can go to the garden, and if possible, you can sit there so that the breeze is available and there is a sort of activities are available. And or else you can do some very relaxed walking practice. And there are all the, whatever the tensions happen during the day's work can be released, and your mind become fairly settled. And you are able to maintain awareness, maintain mindfulness. So that is more important than sort of being in a very dull, drowsy kind of a state.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. But I really like to, you know, extend my sitting time. I don't know why I really like it. So it's also kind of a craving in this case. Because I do walking, and I have to walk like during the daytime night. Then I have to do some work, and yeah. Then I have to walk from one distance to the other. Then I keep always, you know, concentrating on my foot or muscles or things like that, yeah. Like the way that you're instructing us. So I really want to, you know, do a bit more sitting. I have that, you know, kind of liking for it.
Yeah. The thing is.
So anyway, I think that will settle.
Yeah.
And
thing is,
I get a minute to tell something as well? Today I actually experienced, and I felt like little. Good okay. About myself?
Yeah,
so today I had, in the morning, I did my usual meditation, and then sitting session, and then actually I was blamed by one of the people very badly for one of the kind of a mistake that I have done. It's not quite a mistake, but I won't define it as a mistake, but the person looks at it as a mistake, so I got a really bad blame. And it was so severe that I, you know, hearing all these bad words, you know, scolding and, you know, sorry that you did it and things like that. So I was thinking, oh my God, now I think of the Buddha saying that when you get into an uncomfortable state, that you have now you have a place to, you know, go, especially it's like a fire, then you have a place to go and, you know, stay safe. So I quickly got that instantly to my mind, and then I thought, okay, what shall I get on to? Then I was thinking about the sounds, because that was the severe thing that having in my ears. I was looking at the sounds. And but the other person, because I was not responding, I think he got so angry. And it's no doubled. And then started scolding about, because they know that I do a bit of mindful practice. And then started scolding about that. Saying, oh, you're in a path now. And Do you think that it would be good for you to stay on the path and doing all these steps and this thing? So it doubled. And then I thought, oh my God, I think I should run now from this place because, I mean, otherwise, I don't know. I mean, if I lose my patience, probably I will say something and then I will repent on it, thinking, oh, why I said that? Because, you know, always we hear from meditation guidance that you have to even think twice when in a difficult situation. So anyway, but I couldn't hold, but then I said a few things to, you know, saying that, yes, it's my mistake. Probably I will do the same thing again next month, because it's a monthly thing. And I said like that. And then I actually moved away. I just walked away because I didn't want to, you know, hear all those things. And then I came back and sat again, and I started again. So it's okay. But I thought then afterwards it settled. So the person said things, and no, I didn't keep listening. So therefore, my mind was so good. And then I was looking at the whole thing again, because as usual, the mind revisits the situation. And then I was thinking, oh my God, it's really good that the way that I handled it, because if it wasn't that my practice, I would have actually used some words, which becomes very unpleasant for both parties, and then had to repeat the whole day. So after that, then I thought like that, and then started, keep on doing my work. And I was so relaxed, and then I thought I must take a lunch break and go for a walk, which I did. And then I questioned from myself, am I happy today? Because all this incident happened in the morning. Am I happy today? And can I have the same relationship with that person? Can I face him in the same usual way when I see him for work next time? And then I was thinking, yeah, I don't have any grudge because it's good. I can face. Yeah. I didn't say to him anything. He said, I don't know what he said because I can't remember what he said. And then I realized my mistake here. This is my mistake. I shouldn't do it next time. And then I was thinking to myself, it's okay to do mistakes. And there's always space. And I was so happy and glad. And I felt like really I have some tools to face situations in these cases, especially with work, even working with the people who are not practicing this kind of part. They blame the others that who practice, say that because you're practicing, the blame, most blame was you're on a path, and that's why you're forgetting. That's the point that they actually take up to, you know, like hit me. Mm-hmm. Are you forgetting things? You don't do things because you're on a path and you're forgetting things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, no, I'm not forgetting because of I'm in path because it's my mistake. Mm-hmm. It's my mistake. I know that. I understand it. And yeah, so I actually then think about you and Swami Mahasaya and everyone in this one. I like to transfer merits. That was really a good experience, I felt like. And I'm so happy and glad that I touched this at this age. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Bhante.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, so these difficult situations are the one really allowing us to assess ourselves. So otherwise, I mean, we never improve ourselves. So the difficult situations, challenges are there for us to learn. So therefore, I mean, it does not mean that we are going and asking for trouble, but rather when things are coming on our way, we have to learn how to tackle them. We have to learn how to handle them, and through which we are strengthening our, in a way, our wisdom, and we are sort of testing our skills and refining our skills. And therefore, I mean, as you have correctly mentioned, so if we are able to recall our practice, and then we are handling the situations in a different manner. Previously, probably we may have handled impulsively and get into arguments and all these things. But now we are trying to handle things in a different manner. So that indicates some sort of a cultivation in ourselves. So the practice, what we are developing, is not simply in the surface level, but it has now deeply rooted in ourselves. So that is a good sign. So likewise, we have to sort of, in a humble manner, we have to recognize where we are, what are the defilements still sort of arising in myself, and rather than justify them, honestly understanding that still there is space to develop further, I have to develop myself. So likewise, having that kind of a more realistic approach is much better. And that is the only way that we can slowly overcome various defilements. Okay, I think we have reached the time. So we have spent 1.5 hours today. And with me, Venerable Dhammo Basa also joined today. And there are many others also joined remotely. So this way we are able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share the merits with reciting traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దిక පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దిక පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దిక පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු